Hi everybody, I'm Robin Trimingham and I'm here with the founder of Olderhood.com, Bill Story. You're listening to Radio Olderhood, a continuing series on the topic of retirement happiness. So Bill, what's on your mind today?
Hi Robin, hi everybody. Yeah, it's been another busy week. We're getting a lot more sort of email traffic and people giving us some comments, etc. We had a lady come in from the Philippines this week on one of the posts that we had, and she said, when you're young and active in the society, you are well listened to and heard. But when you become an elderly person, your voice becomes faint and receding. And I think that's, I mean, I think that's a reasonably good, comment that, you do change, or society treats you differently.
I wonder if society really treats people differently, or if people just sort of curl up in a corner and say, oh, I'm retired, and they have a lot of self-doubt that other people just pick up on and promote. What I really want to talk about today is I want to talk about the article that you wrote on Friday, and in which you were talking about your friend's point that when you have a job, you get up every morning and you know exactly what you do, and it's all about prioritization.
Yeah.
And yet, the day that you retire, all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and there's the OMG, what do I do now?
I think I'm certainly going through that still. As most people know, I retired July last year. And that's kind of what promulgated that conversation that you're referring to, because I was asking this, friend of mine, how long does it take to adjust from a very busy, hectic schedule, business schedule, to being able to do nothing.
Well,
it doesn't mean to say you have to do nothing. But
tell us a little bit more about what you've been going through, because I know with women, when we get really desperate, you can tell we have nothing else better to do because we're doing the ironing.
I don't do ironing very enough.
I know, but what have you been doing that you never would have done in an effort to fill the time or figure out what to do?
I think the biggest thing that's impacted me has been that. I was on a, just like everybody else, I was on a 5-day schedule, Monday through Friday, from a business point of view, from a work point of view, and that it came Saturday, and you kind of lay in bed in the morning and you said, I don't have to get up today. I could lie in if I wanted to, and same on Sunday. But now, one of the big things I've found has been that I'm now on a 7-day schedule, and I have to be honest and say there's some days I wake up in the morning and I think I don't even know what day it is. I mean, it could be Tuesday or it could be Sunday, and I think that realization, well, it sounds silly and small, small thinking. The fact is, some days I don't know what day it is, and I think that's tremendous. I like that. I like the idea that this is just one continuum. It just goes on and on and on.
Well, what do you think about Bob Lowry's suggestion that you should take the opportunity to rebrand or recreate yourself? I mean, Bob, as people may know, retired a few years ago, so he's a little further down the path than the rest of us, and he's already found his way through some of these things. And he still maintains that you should take this as the opportunity to create a whole new you.
I don't think there's any doubt that that's right. I think he's absolutely correct with that. But my only, I thought his article again was very good. My only issue with that, and it's not a concern, and it's certainly not a criticism, but my only issue is, it's one thing to say that, but I think it's something different, or it's to try and do it, to try and make that happen.
So you're wondering how to start?
Probably.
Well, maybe we should ask Bob if he could, give us some bullet points as to the sort of things he thought about or worked on when he was going through
all
this.
Well, I think it's like talking about hobbies and stuff like that. You know, I mean, I remember about a year ago before I retired, I was up in Toronto and in Canada, and I visited a good friend of mine up there. He and I went to a model train shop way out in the sticks, you know, suburban Toronto. And I mean, it's fantastic. And I thought, wow.
And you liked that, didn't you?
Oh, I loved that. Yeah, that was fantastic. And I thought, you know, maybe if I retire, I could, you know, take an extra room in the house if you have one, and build, you know, sort of, you know, the mountains of Europe and build a train set and stuff like that. And you know, the more I thought about it, yeah, I mean, I like the idea. I still like the idea. But,
is it the idea of a hobby that you like, or you like the idea of the actual trains? Because I think this is getting down to the nexus of the problem.
Oh, it's the trains. I love trains. I mean, I've talked before in the podcast about, you know, I watch a lot of documentaries about the Indian railway system. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, the Indian or the Canadian or, you know, European go through the Alps. You know, from Italy up to France or something. I mean, fantastic stuff. I love that. I mean, I really, really do. So I mean, the train part is fine, but I think it's just the hobby part. I was never one for hobbies.
So you're not the kind of guy who would do jigsaw puzzles either?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, on model aeroplanes, you know, and you get glue stuck in your fingers, and, you know, then you touch your nose and you've got glue in your nose.
No, that's me with crazy.
Well, and you know what really gets to me is these guys that put ships into bottles. You know, they make this new ship and then somehow, I don't know.
Actually, I do know. All the masts and the sails, they lie down flat on the boat.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
poke the boat. You have to poke the boat through the opening of the bottle, and you have to use something like a fish hook
to pull up
the sails and the masts.
Yeah.
And kind of hook them into place, and then you get the fish hook out of the bottle.
Well, you see,
it's quite a production.
I know, I mean, if I did that, I would quickly find out that I had sort of, you know, misfigured out, you know, what the size of the glass is, so that I would get the whole thing. I'd do all of that work, get it in there, pull it up, and it would only go halfway up. I mean, that's the kind of thing I would do. I'm not big any hobbies.
Okay.
I mean, maybe.
Well,
it should be like.
What I tell you what, our project for the year is we're going to find you a hobby.
Find me a hobby.
Yeah, and we're going to have we're going to let the readers make suggestions.
No.
Yes.
I think.
Everybody write in with suggestions as to what hobby you think Bill would be good at.
Could that include like playing football or something? Like
that could include anything.
You think that'd be okay?
I think you'd be a great football broadcaster.
Oh, right.
There you go. Of course. You see, there are a career yet to be discovered.
My problem is I only see one team. That's my problem with stuff.
Well,
like
we have to teach you that there is more than one team in the league.
Well, okay. Fair enough. Then I can foresee ideas coming in from all over the world.
Okay.
You think that's possible?
So everybody, send Bill your ideas.
Oh, dear. BillAtOlderhood.com?
At BillAtOlderhood.com. Okay. And in the meantime, don't forget to check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/olderhood. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care, everybody.